live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio. This is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio City Hall is dealing with the fallout from a rare and dramatic rebuke of Mayor Gene Ortiz Jones in an 8-1 vote. The city council formally censured the mayor after an investigation found that her conduct during a February 5th confrontation with District 1 Councilmember Sue Kaur violated the city's code of conduct and workplace behavior standards. The dispute began over the handling of a fire safety issue tied to the Bonham Exchange. But the vote also reflected broad concerns from council members about leadership, respect, and how city council functions under pressure. Now the focus turns to what comes next, why council members believe the censure was necessary, what accountability is supposed to look like, and whether the council can move past internal conflict to tackle the major issues facing San Antonio. Joining us this afternoon is District 1 Councilmember Sue Kaur to talk about what happened, why the vote matters, and how the council can move forward. And Sue Kaur, welcome back to The Source.
Thanks so much.
So you were not there on Friday. And so the vote happened without you. It was 8-1 against the mayor. Why weren't you there?
I was there just at City Hall Chambers, was told to recuse myself from the vote.
Were you surprised by the outcome of the vote?
I don't think I was surprised. That maybe just a little bit, but not in general. I had talked to my colleagues, and most of them had just shared support throughout the time.
So our phone number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you call in, you've got a question or comment for District 1 Councilmember Sue Kaur. How do we get here? I mean, this is not a good place to be.
I absolutely agree. And I promise there was, if I could go back and not have to do this, I totally would do that. But unfortunately, the actions of the mayor led us here. And I think at any point we have to stand up against abuse of any kind. And so felt like it was my responsibility to my voters to share that this was not okay and we cannot conduct ourselves in this manner.
The comments on social media have not been kind to the council on this issue. Mainly they were like, this is not what we want the council to be working on. We have so many issues in San Antonio, things that have got to be fixed. Why are you guys messing around with, you know, personal issues? I think it's really hard for people on the outside to understand what was really going on and how it got to the point where this public action was necessary. So help me understand that.
Yeah, so I'll talk about this instance specifically. The particular issue at hand to me is not relevant, whether we were trying to save the Bonham Exchange as a historic cultural institution or having a debate about another issue. The issue at hand was there is a level of professional standards and conduct and code of conduct that we should be upholding ourselves to that was not occurring, and it was not acceptable. And so it was a heated altercation between the mayor and I where I was silent for most of it, and it was verbal abuse that was profanity that was consistently berating me, not just the drop of one F-bomb as, oh, I effing stubbed my toe. And so it was constant aggressive berating that went on for a few moments that was just not acceptable.
So, I mean, I'm sure that, I mean, you're not a shy babe in the woods, person who've never, ever heard the F-bomb before, you know, or ever, you may have used it once or twice in your lifetime. So to try and paint it as like it wasn't just the use of the F-bomb and the pointing of the finger. It was really the whole vibe of the event where the mayor was, who is your equal on council. You guys, the mayor is the first among equals on council, but acting in a way that if this was in any workplace, this would not be acceptable. Is that right?
Exactly. And the independent investigation found from an unbiased attorney that it was an instance of workplace harassment. And that's why it was important for me to file the complaint, so that that investigation could occur and witness statements were taken. And so from that, counsel determined that they needed to have a censure because it was workplace harassment, and some of our administrative directives in for violence in the workplace were violated as well. And so this wasn't, that's why that complaint was important to file.
Let's go to a caller. The number is 833-877-8255. And Daniel, thanks for calling in. You're on the air with Councilmember Sukakur.
Good morning. Thank you for having this program. There is no question in the minds of reasonable people that inappropriate language, et cetera, has no place in the workplace. However, that being said, let me also say the person that should be leading the example to appropriate government interaction is the person in the White House, and I won't go into all that, but if you compare it in perspective, this would be rather petty to deal with this and hold back on what the work that needs to be done in the city. For example, I live in District 1. Dr. Sukakur, you are my council representative, and I have been trying to reach you since the last time you ran. I got 12 people to vote for you. May not be much, but we sincerely believe that you would help us at the fork of the road on Almas Drive and Rhodey. And since then, my neighbor's keeping track every year, and 49 animals were killed. And I'm talking about dogs, cats, raccoons, opossums, whatever, because they drive too fast. The speed limit is 20, and they will go by here 50 miles, anywhere between 20 and 55, something like that. Mm-hmm. It's dangerous. People have been hurt, etc. I won't go too much into that. But I will say this. In communicating and using appropriate language, you yourself said there's a level of professional standards. That would include everything. So the mayor is wrong for having talked to you this way, whatever. And I see that. I agree with you. And berating you, I agree with you. But flip it over. There are people who get berated every single minute they're alive because they're black or whatever. In this case, LGBTQ plus. And I think Mayor Jones is doing an excellent job. You know, This is an exception. And I'm going to get off in just a second. All I want to say is us little people that are seen as nobody, sometimes we put you in there and we expect it to be equally across the board to address the – nothing's been done. I've been trying to get help since the last time I voted you in. I passed a heart attack, a stroke, and a broken leg, and I'm still trying. So anyway, you know who I am, and I respect you. I respect your smarts and everything that you do, except let's not say things and be double standard. This is terrible what Mayor Jones did, but in perspective, it's petty compared to my business is not being addressed here. I pay a lot of taxes, and I'm a little person, and the other people here, so we need attention also. Thank you, and have a good day.
All right. So, Daniel, take care of yourself. Sounds like you have some health issues there, and please take care of yourself. But we have to go to a break here. When we come back, we'll hear from Sukakur getting her reaction to Daniel's comments there. And you can call in with your questions and comments, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Kelly, I'll get you on the air when we come back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us. Listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the second half hour, we're going to be talking about the H-1B visa program. There are massive changes coming from the Trump administration. Experts are saying this could definitely hurt the U.S. economy and healthcare in the country. But right now, we're joined by Sukakur, District 1 council member. We're talking about the recent San Antonio Mayor Jones censure vote in reaction to that, and really focusing on how do we move forward? How do we not get stuck on this issue, and because like we heard from the caller Daniel earlier, we want solutions in San Antonio. We got a lot of challenges, and we need the council to work on that. But let's go to Sukakor, and can you address Daniel's concerns?
Absolutely. So I've had the chance to talk to Daniel several times. Daniel, thank you so much for calling in and providing your comment. And I absolutely agree with you. There is much bigger fish to fry in our community right now. Y'all have heard me joke multiple times, but I say that one thing that keeps me up at night is sidewalks and pedestrian accessibility in our community. Because while we're over here trying to build a walkable community for all of our residents, we have broken sidewalks on every single block. And to this, the intersection that Daniel was mentioning, it's such a challenging intersection, and we don't have a good solution for it. We've submitted it to traffic multiple times, the traffic team, but you are short on traffic engineers. There's multiple vacancies for traffic engineers at city staff. So as all of this is going on, we've been continuing to work. We've been working on a CCR, which is the form of policy making that council members have to actually create a quick build office within Public Works to try different solutions when we do have traffic challenges. Councilman Castillo put a traffic calming policy a few months ago, and they were supposed to be updating the handbook. So we're waiting on that as well. So we're continuing to work forward on issues that matter locally. Infrastructure is and will always be the number one priority for District 1. And as the Orange Cone Councilwoman, I stay very committed to it.
Let's go to another caller. We have Kelly. And Kelly, you're on the air.
Hi. Hello, Councilwoman Kaur. I wanted to first say that I stand with you. I was a labor organizer myself, and if this would have happened to any of my members, I would have fought just as hard for them. My question to you, and I'm very curious your thoughts, the rhetoric online has been very different from the censure vote that was that happened between Mario Bravo and Ana Sandoval. And I do question if part of it has to do with the public framing Mayor Jones as Hispanic and a Latina, when in fact both you and her are the AAPI members on the council. And for those that don't know what AAPI, Asian American Pacific Indian. And so it concerns me how many people are trying to dismiss this when it sends such a strong message to other city workers and departments. Managers and directors and even the mayor are all held to the same standard, and nobody should be above the rules, regardless of their title. That was my question. Thank you.
All right. Kelly, thank you for that. Do you want to react to that, Sukakor?
Yeah. Thanks, David. And thank you, Kelly, for sharing that. And I absolutely agree. I think the most troubling excuse that was made was that the mayor's actions were a result of her being a different kind of female leader. So many women have told me that is so frustrating for them. I was just talking to two women in law enforcement last night who said, as women in male-dominated fields, making those types of comments only hurts the work that they're trying to do. And as I reiterated, we're a majority female council. The leadership before us has been trying so hard to dismantle the stereotype that there is a certain type of female leader. Leadership does not have a gender, and so it should have nothing to do about being a woman or not. Professionalism should stand on its own.
Another caller, and we have Steve. Steve, you're on the air.
Yes, Dr. Kerr, so please explain to me what you think Mario Bravo's comment was. I had thought he said that as a result of his consequence of being censored, that the council went too far in its meaning of what harassment was all about.
So Steve, I want to make sure I got you're asking about Mario Bravo?
Yes, Mario Bravo, I'm sorry, Mr. Bravo was there at the censure and its council, and he had made a statement that he had thought that they were regulating her too hardly as a result of what he went through. I wonder how Dr. Kerr has put that together in her mind. What does that mean to her?
All right. I don't know if you want to relitigate Mario Bravo all over again. I don't really think it kind of derails us from where we want to go. We want to move forward. So let me ask Sukkur about how do we not get hung up on the vote? The vote happened, and you know the mayor is taking steps, and she seems sincere in trying to avoid this from happening ever again, and learning from this moment. It's a learning moment. Do you see that? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm ready to move forward. I think we all are. We needed to have this action take place for accountability, and I'm glad to see that the mayor is taking herself off from governance for several months and then going to be doing that leadership training. And quite frankly, she invited the rest of us to join, and I would be happy to go because my goal with this was always to create a more collaborative workplace. We need 6 votes to pass any policy, and those 6 votes can come from any composition. In our strong manager council form of government, we only need 6. The mayor gets 1 of those 11. And so I'm looking forward to collaborating so we can move policy forward.
So I don't want to just glaze over what Steve was saying about Mario Bravo. Is there anything there that we need to address?
I think the comments from Mario were about due process and not allowing for witnesses to be heard. That was my understanding. And in this instance, there were 3 witnesses to the instance that all provided comment, that heard the whole conversation. So their whole testimony was written in the report for council to review.
Right. And so there was a full investigation. Witnesses were spoken to. A lot of that's not being made public in order to protect the witnesses, in order to protect the privacy of this whole situation. And so moving forward from that, you know, ensuring future trust. I know that there's the concern that there may be any attempt for this to kind of repeat itself or any kind of maybe retaliation. How would the council react to that?
I always talk about purple lining and focus what you want to see. So I'm right now staying focused on the outcome we want is a collaborative council that's working on issues that our residents, as mentioned earlier, infrastructure, affordable housing, parks and community centers coming up in the bond. That's what I want to focus on, and that's what I want to direct our attention to.
Right. And so was it really necessary to have this whole thing play out in the public floor?
Absolutely. And I said this on Friday, but this was about having the courage to stand up versus just staying silent, which probably would have been the easier path and throw this under the rug. But like I mentioned, abuse at any level should be called out. We need to hold each other accountable. And as a pattern of consistent disrespect in which this instant it crossed the line, we wanted to make sure we could actually say something to change that pattern so we can have a better working relationship to move forward.
Have you had an opportunity to do a one-on-one discussion with Mayor Jones to figure out about moving forward?
Not as of yet.
Are there plans for something like that?
We have not scheduled anything yet.
All right. So, do you feel like this has been a healthy exchange? You know, I mean, you had a blow up. I mean, not you, but you were there. You took the brunt of the blow up from the mayor. It was ugly. It was brutal. You never want to go through anything like that ever again. This is something you wouldn't wish upon anyone in any workplace. She's taken responsibility for it, although she's sort of not expressed it in the same sort of context that you have. But do you think now things are in a position where you could have a healthy relationship with her?
I'm ready to move forward.
All right. And so what does that look like moving forward?
To me, that looks like continuing business is to make sure that we are working together on the dais, having healthy conversation about issues that our residents are asking us to advocate for, and making sure when we are in a private, closed-door conversation, there is a mutual level of respect and that acknowledgement that we are colleagues and deserve to be respected and treated as colleagues is acknowledged.
Do you think this is about accountability?
Absolutely.
How so?
Well, the mayor's actions were unacceptable as the mayor of our city, and I think that any verbal abuse needs to be treated with help. Any person that conducts verbal abuse needs to be held accountable.
I mean, looking at some of the positions that you seem to care about, they are in alignment with what we've heard from Mayor Jones in the past. You don't disagree on what needs to be done for San Antonio. You were both working in this instance to protect the Bonham Exchange. And we see that a lot of times on the council. Are these personal feelings going to get in the way of trying to achieve the outcomes that we want?
So, as I mentioned also, this is not about personal hurt feelings. And I think that insinuation from the mayor was a form of gaslighting. And I mentioned that on Friday. This was about making sure we know how to get the work done together. Because at the end of the day, if we do not collaborate, it doesn't matter if we are aligned on the outcome. If we don't collaborate, we will not get work done. And how we do the work does matter. And so we see, I mean, one of the callers even said, everyone is sick of what's happening unilaterally at the nation's capital, and we should not be emulating that kind of behavior in any way.
So moving forward, what does that look like in terms of, should we just be focused on what happens on the dais and not be drawn into mean girls politics?
Yes. Never. Our goal is always, again, even behind closed doors, we need working relationships. And I think that's one of the challenge, right? You see something on the dais, but you also see different conversations happen behind closed doors. And it hasn't been with just me. It's been with a lot of other city staff, a lot of other constituents that have shared the type of language that's used. And this, for me, was a statement that we need to treat people in our community, in our city, that are doing hard work every day and just as a public servant as she is, with respect, and communicate in effective ways. Because if we don't communicate effectively, we don't collaborate together, work will not get done.
And to be clear, you're not someone who bruises easily. You're tough. You've been through the mill. You've taken a lot of shots over the years in the public office and even before. I mean, how did this get to this point, this level? I mean, and it seemed like to actually get there where we had to do a public censure of the mayor, and it was an 8-1 vote, that's overwhelming, that it does seem like there was something kind of broken at City Hall. And so what we want to do is fix that so we get to good things.
Yeah, I read one article that said politics is a contact sport. And I'm like, trust me, I love me some contact sport. I love boxing, had one fight under my belt. I play tons of football. I am scratched up all the time from running around on fields. And so I am a big fan of contact sport. And even athletes at the highest level have mutual respect for each other. They can aggressively fight in whichever arena they're in and then make sure that they have that mutual respect. And that's what was crossed. It was consistent verbal harassment that occurred in this situation. It wasn't one drop of an F-bomb.
Yeah, and so we can look at this as the moment where things got better. That, okay, all that's over with. We had this occurrence, we had the censor, and now we're moving forward and things can get better.
100%, the tipping point.
All right. Well, Councilman Sue Kaur, thanks for coming into the studio, taking calls, answering some questions, and pointing the direction forward on San Antonio City Hall, City Council. Appreciate
that. Thank you for having me.
The Source continues. After this break, we're going to be talking about the H-1B visa program, the changes coming from the Trump administration and from Texas, Governor Greg Abbott putting a freeze on them. How could this impact universities, healthcare, economic opportunity in Texas? Stay with us.